welcome to Consciously Speaking, Personal Growth with Personality. I'm your host, Michael Neely, with my co-host here, Chris Tomaso. Chris is the author of the ebook, The Law of Attraction Instruction Manual, available now on the Amazon Kindle store. Chris believes that manifesting what you want should be full of ease and fun.
I do. Thanks, Michael. And in case you want to know about him, he's the creator of the transformational program, The Art of Forgetting. And he is an author, a keynote speaker, an entrepreneur, and a personal development coach.
Excellent. Well, what is consciously speaking?
Well, I think our approach to consciously speaking is we wanted to bring an air of lighthearted fun to the idea of personal development and personal growth.
Yeah, sometimes like people in this field can be so deep and heavy about it all the time. And it's like, come on, lighten up, enlighten up.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Enlighten up. Yeah, so we just wanted to bring that sense of fun to the people who are kind of interested in this stuff but may not be like fully all in, although the fully all in people might really enjoy it too.
Absolutely. I hope that we find that right audience, which is a broad spectrum of folks that really just know that there's something more to life than maybe what's going on right now. And you could be anywhere and feel that way. I mean, even highly developed people still maybe feel there's still something more. And so that's what we kind of want to explore on Consciously Speaking.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And to do that, I think we're going to be in a kind of a pattern, at least to start, as we evolve ourselves as a podcast. But we're going to be bringing in guests every week to speak with us. These guests will be professionals in their field of some form of personal growth, be it conscious evolution or manifestation or success or whatever their field might be that really evolves around personal growth.
I'd like to get some scientists, some like biofeedback people in here doing like consciousness hacking and all kinds of fun stuff.
Neurologists and stuff, because you know they're dealing with all the brain changes that we know more about today than we did 20 years ago. Even.
Yeah.
Cool. So today, for our guest, we're going to have Megan Neely. Megan Neely, in addition to being my wife, is also known as the Manifestress. And she is an amazing life coach. She is a yoga instructor. She's beautiful, and she's my wife. That's why I married her.
Just a downright pleasant person to be around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just trying to embarrass her, so she totally flubs her lines.
Well, thank you, Michael and Chris. You've done a good job on the embarrassing front, at least.
Yeah, we aims to please. So, Megan, just a quick piece. I said it in the introduction that you are also known as The Manifestress, and I believe that your website is themanifestress.com. And so tell us about that. Why The Manifestress?
Well, I chose the website and the title, The Manifestress, because it's really who I am at my core. It wasn't about creating some kind of branding or something outside of myself. I wanted to have a label that people would know my style of coaching by that was really aligned with who I've been all my life. Mm. And to me, manifesting is like breathing. And I always thought that it was the same for everybody else until people started coming to me for coaching and asking me to explain, how do I do this? How do I get from the life I'm envisioning having to actually living it?
Mm. Very cool.
So how is manifesting like breathing? I'm interested.
Well, to me, what I mean by that is that it's a second nature. And people have joked all my life that I seem so lucky and everything, you know, I'm thinking of inappropriate comments. Like I have
We're all about inappropriate here. There's no rating on our program.
So like I have like must have a horseshoe up my ass. That kind of comment has been frequent.
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable.
Really?
I would think so. Yeah.
Is a horseshoe a lucky thing?
Yes. Horseshoes are lucky.
Really?
Probably not. Up your ass, but
as long as here's the key: it's only lucky if it's faced upward as a U shape.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would put them above the door or above the stable or what have you because it holds the luck in. But if a horseshoe's turned upside down, it's bad luck.
Oh, really?
So it must have been wedged up there.
Wow, that would be really painful.
Tell me about it.
I mean, I guess it'd be both painful both ways. And
so you're lucky in other ways.
Yes. So that's why I go with more the analogy of it's like breathing to me. Because it is just something that's always with me. And to me, I've just noticed throughout my life, anytime I really set my mind to something and said, this is what I most want, and I not just thinking that with my head or, you know, writing it down like a goal, but really feeling it and knowing it already inside of me, even before I took action, it's always worked out 100% and more.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
It's a little scary.
It can be. Well, okay, so tell us then, like, so what is, like, the biggest, most incredible thing that you've manifested in your life?
Well, Michael knows very well that he's the winner.
That's why I asked. No, it's something different. I've heard that story.
No, literally, that's the biggest thing for me. So when I met Michael, we had been already friends for a few years. I guess by that point, our friendship had deepened. We were in the same consciousness community and like life coach trainings. And at that time, I was engaged to someone else. And I was all set to move to Europe. So we had our wedding date. I had a dress hanging in the closet. I had like a house that was already, you know, down payment was on our rental there. Everything was lined up for me to move within a few months. And I got that inner knowing feeling that was not the right path. And I was really falling for Michael. And that was really scary because I know how powerful I am and how powerful we all are, that when we get that knowing, there's no turning back. So
I'm curious if I can interject. Did you know beforehand, not that you were going to have a knowing like that? Obviously, that came as a shock to you. But were you intending for something different in your life in some other fashion? Was there some sort of, for lack of a better word, cause and effect relationship between what you had been doing previously and that shift that occurred?
That's a great question, Chris. I feel like for me, my overall commitment, my ultimate top number one commitment is to my full aliveness. And so that guides all of my decisions. And so I was in these coaching programs and really working on this deep knowing of myself and then also being able to lead others through powerful coaching and transformation processes. And so in that space, I knew that it was never a fixed kind of solution or a fixed knowing to anything, that I was always open and available to what was truly serving my full aliveness. And so by opening myself up to that, I knew that I was opening myself up to the possibility that choices I had made in the past, such as being engaged to someone else, might not be right. So I did have some inklings that it wasn't totally aligned, and I was in an exploration of that. But I think the key thing with recognizing my attraction to Michael and going into relationship with him was not about wanting to have him or something outside of myself and saying, oh, now that's the answer. This person is the answer, this thing, this goal, whatever it is. But it was more recognizing that I had more access to my aliveness when I was stepping into that possibility. And if that was true, then I shouldn't step back.
Oh, I like that. So, recognizing that certain conditions in your life, in this case, Michael, gave you the more access to your own aliveness, but it didn't replace it.
Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't that the aliveness was now coming from somewhere outside of me, but he was just providing a space for me to recognize, oh, well, look how much vitality I feel now. And then when I would go back to being home, we were traveling for these workshops, when I would go back home and to my relationship that I was in, I just started to see clearly, oh, I could feel my kind of thermostat plummeting.
Energy drop. It's interesting. I got, as you were talking about that, an analogy came to my mind, because having come from a background as a professional actor, working on stage, one of the things that you learn is to find your light, as they say, because often the spotlight will hit parts of the stage just really bright, or especially if there is just a spotlight on you, and you know when you've stepped out of the light and you're into your darkness. And so finding your light is where you want to be. And so it felt almost like, as you were describing that you know, that's what you were doing. You were finding that and wanted to stay in it and didn't want to step back into the dark spaces.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Very cool.
It also sounds like your light moves. Like finding your light is a fluid process.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Imagine that spotlight moving around the stage and you got to stay in it the whole time. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that now that I'm with Michael, now that we're married, that I get to stop the search for full aliveness. It happens every day, every moment.
Right.
So it's an ongoing process.
Cool. So that's an amazing manifestation. And as the manifestress, I'm assuming you don't just go around showing that off. You want to teach people, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
How do you teach someone to be a manifestress like you?
Well, I work with people. A lot of the work I do is one-on-one with people in personal coaching, because everybody has such an individual path, and some people are looking to, you know, like I did, manifest in their realm of relationship and creating the juiciest, yummiest, intimate, conscious relationship that they could have. And I know that that's really possible for everyone. And so I work with people guiding them on that. Other people might have a rockin' relationship and their career is totally dissatisfying and not what they want. And so we work on that. And there's so many different tools that we lose.
Tools that you lose?
So many different.
You can find them again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many different tools that we use along the way to discover what is in alignment with what they really want to create for their lives. So I'm all about creating an environment where they're getting nervous.
No worries.
So what if you had to manifest unnervousness or non-nervousness? What would be the term of it? Unnerved is not good because...
No, we're not keeping this in here.
Oh, totally we are.
Yourself as a subject and
do some manifestation right now.
Yeah.
Manifest total calm, presence, and power.
So if we were going with this, I noticed that when I speak or when I'm in an environment like this rather than one-on-one coaching, I first notice that my throat starts to narrow. There's that kind of that feeling, like a tensing, squeezing in my throat. I feel hot all over, uprising heat. And uprising heat is actually associated with an increase of energy and more excitement, joy. So it's not really a bad thing, but it gets lumped in with nervousness or fear.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then my mind, I notice, starts to do some of that autopilot of, oh, nervous, fear, what am I saying, what are people thinking? And as soon as that's happening, I get out of the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that that's an edge for me to move towards and learn more about. And so, for everybody, you might have something like that where you notice you start to have some physical symptoms or sensations, changes in temperature. And that's a good clue for an area where you can start to put a little more attention, put a little more practice and awareness.
Now, when you're doing that, do you try to affect the physiology, or do you try to affect.
You don't want to get infected in the process. But.
Well, we want to affect people's joy. That's
there
the goal.
You go.
But do you want to affect the physiology, or do you want to affect the internal states, or does it matter? And how do you choose?
Well, I guess for me, what I most go towards is a facing of what's occurring, and so not trying to change it or really do anything to alter it. In the beginning, it's just about facing it. Oh, and I usually label it out loud if I'm in a scenario where I can, like even right now, oh, feeling that tightening in my throat, feeling the heat rising up through my chest. And then I notice that even after I said it out loud here, those things disappeared. Uh-huh. So for me, it's less about saying an affirmation or something kind of outside myself. It's about turn the spotlight in, look in, see what's already occurring. And then once I really get present with that, it changes. And it's on to the next thing.
Oh, okay, so being present with it is what changes it, not trying to affect it in some more sort of like specific or harsh way. Like you don't necessarily like straighten your back and like try to speak clearly, because that's you're trying to affect the physiology directly without affecting the source of the problem. Or am I?
Yeah, no, that's true. That for me, anyway, that's what I've found in my personal experience is really working the best for me.
Cool. It reminds me of, there's a blog that I've got, which is Fear Versus Doubt. And it sounds like what you're doing is you're facing the fear, which I think is great. Everybody has these qualms about like, oh, fear is bad, fear, overcome your fear. And I'm like, no. Embrace your fear. Fear is great, but it's fear's bedfellow, doubt, that you got to worry about. Because fear is fine. You faced into it. And when you do that, then doubt gets left aside. But if you don't face your fear, then doubt tags along behind it. And that doubt is what stops you for anyone. I think doubt creeps in, and that's the killer, not the fear.
Yeah, and I found, I mean, have you ever noticed that at the beginning of starting something new or, you know, say you have a new endeavor and you're really excited about it at the beginning, and it could even be like, I'm going to start running every day. I love that. And the first day, you feel really great, and it's this endorphin high, and yeah, I love this, and or getting up at 6 a.m. is a great idea, not drinking coffee, whatever it is that's your thing that you're trying to change a pattern. The first day, the enthusiasm takes over, and there is this sort of endorphin high from, and I'm sure there's more medical terminology yeah. for what happens there, but there's something else. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I know that I've had the experience over and over. There's just this rush of, yes, I can do it, and you feel super powerful. And then on day two, a lot of that might still be there. By day three, it's going downhill. By day five, you've changed your mind entirely. So I don't know if anybody else has experienced that.
Pretty much every time I've tried to do any kind of habit. Yeah. Like, this is awesome. 5 days later, like, no, this is so hard.
What was I thinking?
yeah, exactly.
Which is actually interesting timing-wise because, you know, we're coming up not too far away from the new year. And new year is a prominent time for everybody to take new resolutions and start new things. And so I know for you, one of the things that you're taking on right after the new year is going to be some work with Danielle Laporte. So who is Danielle Laporte?
Danielle Laporte is an incredible writer and coach who has written The Desire Map, a guide to creating goals with soul. And she really inspired me with her blogs. First of all, was where I started just reading about what she had to say. And she has a lot of great videos and something called the Truth Bombs on her website, which are really fun kind of quotes, but they're more just like little blasts or bombs of truth to wake you up out of the trance. And
they're the kind you can get through security at the airport.
Yeah.
I'm smuggling truth bombs. Watch it.
Exactly. So the desire map, as I said, a guide to creating goals with soul, is really not about creating goals from somewhere outside of you, making a list, or, you know, you might make a list later on down the line of those things that you still think you want, but it's more about looking for, why are we doing those things that we're already doing? So for me, one of my great passions is shopping. And yes,
you and every other woman.
He laughs as he does. Yeah. Well.
Hey, I like shopping too.
That's true. Hey, I'm as well. Yeah. Different stores, but
yeah. Exactly.
Forever 21 for you, right?
Yeah.
But what might be different for, you know, for all of us, we might like different stores. That's probably pretty much for sure here between the three of us. But beyond that, beyond liking the different stores, we probably have a different motivation for why we even want to go shopping. Mm-hmm. Why do we like the feeling we get or not like the feeling we get? Because lots of people I know also don't like shopping. So what's the feeling you get when you go shopping that makes you feel like, I got to get out of here, get me home? Some people have that. Mine is more like, ooh, good, I get to look forward to that day where I get to spend 4 hours shopping with my best friend. And then, yeah, that's a short trip.
Wow.
So, and I really started looking at that and I thought, well, it wasn't buying things that got me excited. It wasn't actually bringing things home. Although I did like having one or two new things that were really luscious and luxurious to me. But if I just brought home some kind of inexpensive things or you know, something that just happened to be on sale and I saw it and it was impulsive, I noticed that afterwards I didn't feel very good. I didn't feel satisfied. And through the desire map, it really showed me, as I started to explore more of my feelings around why I do what I do, I realized that I like the sensory experience. I like touching beautiful things. So especially like cashmere, leather, velvet, it was usually those particular fabrics. And I always thought that meant I only liked expensive things and that it was something to do with being out of my price range or always wanting more. And what I've come to realize is I could get that cashmere sweater secondhand or hand me down from a friend and I'm just as happy because I love how it feels and I love how I feel when I'm wearing it. And so one of the things that Danielle teaches in this work is recognizing, why do we do those things that we do, so that you don't have to necessarily go run out and, you know, eat a whole cake because you think, I love that feeling at the bakery, or like rack up your credit card debt because you want to go shopping, get that feeling, but really come back to what do I want to feel? And for me, I love that sensory piece, but I also like feeling abundant and luxurious. And so I start to look for ways that I can feel that that don't necessarily involve the shopping at all. And they might, but now when I go shopping, I have more consciousness around what am I really here for? What am I doing? And how am I going to keep, as I mentioned before, my aliveness up, increasing my vitality rather than draining it.
And so that's kind of what the Desire Map is about? I mean,
yeah, that's a snippet of one piece where you start to really look back at why you're doing the things you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then the next step would be to start creating goals that are, as she says, goals with soul, that are aligned with your innermost desires.
So that's what the Desire Map is about, a snippet, as you say, but what's your involvement with it? Well, like if someone wanted to learn more about it, I mean, tell me more.
Yeah, well, I have the information all on my website, so themanifestress.com, and there is a page on my site that's dedicated to the Desire Map and the work I'm doing with Danielle, which is I'm one of her first facilitators. And that means that I get to offer out this incredible work, her teachings, and including offering out her workbooks at the trainings. And we can do in-person workshops, retreats, online trainings. It's really going to be limitless to what 2015 holds. I'm really excited for how this is going to change the way people are looking at their new year, their intentions, and not only how they're setting goals, but how they're living a life they love right now. And that's the biggest thing the Desire Map not taught me. I already knew it, but it was more like I had the yes and everything clicking into place when I was reading it, that it's not about living your life somewhere out there in the future. One day when I have this kind of house and this car and this husband, my kid's going to act like this. We don't have control completely. Yes, you have some control over what kind of car you have, but you don't have control over how your kid's going to react or, you know, exactly when you're going to get that house and where it's going to be. Those things I've found, it really helps to just open up to what most wants to happen. And when you come from this place of already living the life you love and being aligned with your core desired feelings, then it's not such a big concern anymore if you get that certain promotion or your partner responds in a particular way or you get to go on 10 vacations this year. It's more like, oh, if one of your goals is to have ease in your life, then how are you creating ease right now that you're not just waiting for your week in Mexico?
Right.
Got it. That sounds like a great combination for what you do as the manifestress because,
yeah.
I mean, here, you know, you help someone with their desire map, and then you help them to manifest it. So it sounds like a great...
Exactly. I feel like it's really the platform and the foundation for my work as the manifestress.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So the Desire Map, Chris, just to recap, it may not help you find Toledo, Ohio, but it will give you the directions to happiness.
No, I really like that because as I found more and more in my own work in the Law of Attraction, as I realized that the idea that there is something out there that you want and that when you get it, you will be happy... is exactly what keeps you from being happy now, which is the only power that you actually have is the power of the now, like your aliveness.
Yeah.
Even hearing you talk about it, I could feel you like feeling your own aliveness and sort of like radiating it out. Like I was like, yeah, I like this.
Well, and it's an interesting thing about human nature is like you talk about, you know, the things that people think they want, like they want more money or they want a nice new sports car or whatever, those desirable things, material possessions that we get. And you and all of us, I'm sure, know people who have all those things and they're still not happy.
Right.
So you would think that we would clue into it better as a society, but for some reason, so many people still think that those are the things that are going to make you happy. And it's, it's just, to me, it's just not right. I mean, it's not a proper way of thinking because we all witness all the time.
And it's easy to like hypnotize yourself into thinking that that is the way.
You're right.
Like, oh, well, I'll just get this one thing. Like, even if it's like you said, a week in Mexico, even if that week in Mexico is next week, still right now, you can feel that way.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you start to cut out all those things and say, "Well, right. Now I'm going to be an ascetic and I don't need anything. I can just be happy right here, right now." And although yes, that is true on a level as well. We are in this modern world. There is a certain amount of the striving sort of energy that's around us, and I'm just interested in how we can shift that instead to saying, well, okay, so maybe you want to have more money, and why? It's not just mm-hmm. about the paper. It's not just about having that right. thing. What is the money going to get you? And so if you say, well, I want the money because I want to go on a trip with my beloved. Well, why do you want to go on the trip? Well, because I want to have this time to really be really close with them and have nothing else to focus on. Okay, great. And so why do you want to have this time with them where you only want to... And I keep asking why. So that's one of the things that I do in this style of coaching as well, is just get deeper. Why? Because it's never the first why. It's not our first answer on the surface. And so it might be, you know, with a question like that, I went a few whys in and it ends up being, well, I just want my partner to hear me, or right. I really want to, just really want to be with them. Well, guess what? You can have it today. Yeah. So turn off your computer and go be with them.
Yep. Stop searching through Travelocity.
Exactly. Go for a walk.
Yeah. Well, what would someone do? How can someone find you and get started with this work? So, like, let's say someone locally, or I don't know, where are you teaching this? I mean, give us more details about how someone can get to the Desire Map.
Yeah, well, my first workshop is scheduled for January 10th and 11th, 2015. And that will be in Santa Cruz. And I have a limit of 20 people that will be allowed in that first group. And so usually the groups will be under 20 people. And so they are pretty intimate learning mm-hmm. environments. And I'm open to teaching workshops really around the world. I know I'm going to be teaching in Canada and a few places across the U.S. next year, and definitely an online course. So there'll be a lot of opportunities. And if you go on to themanifestress.com, there's a sign-up link there so you can be in the know.
Very cool. And so if someone wants to come to these, is it 2 days, 3 days, a week long? What's the general format?
The first one in Santa Cruz will be a 2-day, and it's on a weekend. So there's an option for future workshops if somebody wants to have me come in to work with their group and they want a full day intensive. That's great as well. There'll be that option. And I'm also looking at holding a retreat at Harbin Hot Springs.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm just curious, what is the benefit of a 2-day intensive program for somebody who's interested but, you know, is maybe on the fence?
Yeah, well, I would say the benefit of going to a 2-day intensive is that you really get to dive deeply in. So it's a different experience than reading a book and having it interspersed with the rest of your daily life and everything that, you know very well what happens when you're trying to do something like that, and then the phone's ringing and the email's coming in and the kid's calling for you and blah blah blah. It's constant. So this just gets you away from all that for 2 days to just focus on your core desired feelings, and that's it. And we provide fabulous organic catered lunch, other goodies, snacks, tea, dropped in one-on-one coaching time, and it's really, it's 14 hours of sessions. And just to give you an idea, when somebody does a one-on-one coaching with me, it's the same cost to do 2 coaching sessions, which is just 2.5 hours total, as it is to do that 14 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it's an incredible value. And I really want to teach the Desire Map at such a reasonable rate because I want everybody to be able to be exposed to this work.
That's fabulous. And so for coming to your live events, they can then go to themanifestress.com and then they'll find out about what your schedule is. So you'll have different cities and different times.
Yeah, posted. Exactly.
And so let's say that doesn't work for someone. You're not going to be in a city near them and they just want to get it direct from you. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, I do one-on-one Skype coaching. Actually, the majority of my coaching is not in person. It's virtual.
Cool.
So that's always a possibility. And like I said, I'll be organizing an online training for the Desire Map as well. So there'll be a virtual group training. And the other thing about group trainings, whether it's online and you're connecting with a private online community and really getting support and asking your questions, and, you know, I'll be answering questions on the online forum, but also the rest of the community, the rest of the participants will be giving their input to you as well. So it's not just like you're sitting alone with your book at home and listening to a recording. So you'll be able to ask questions live and online, get input. And in the in-person trainings, it's also so powerful to be with a group of like-minded people. And I'm sure you've all experienced that power of going to a weekend, going to a training, and feeling what it's like to be with everybody who's really on the same page as you are.
Yeah, it's wonderful feeling that sense of co-creating and synergy, yes, to use a bunch of buzzwords, but that's how it feels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So I have a question. What are the first practical steps a person can take to move more towards the things they love to do rather than the things they think they should be doing?
That's a great question. And actually, oddly enough, the first step is to cut out should from your language.
Oh, really? That's on my list. I should do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've found that the first most powerful step towards going towards a life that you love is cutting out the should. Don't should on yourself, as they say.
Don't should.
Yeah. So really just letting yourself come back to, again, what do you really most want? What is your motivation? What's your intention behind doing something? So we might appear to be doing something the same from the outside, like doing the dishes. So just use a daily task. Might do the dishes and it seems like, oh, well, we're doing it all for the same reason. No, maybe for, you know, Michael, he's doing the dishes because he wants the kitchen to be really clean and spacious, because then it allows him to focus more on work, and in that kind of environment helps him. And for me, my motivation might be more to please him. So it's the same task but different motivation.
Sure.
And so looking at that, and why, and are you doing it because you feel like, well, I have to do this thing, and you're carrying it around like a heavy load. And I feel like when you just drop those things away and instead step into what do I really most want to do and why, that's a first step.
I like the idea of cutting it out from your language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're like writing about, you know, what are the things I have to do today, mm-hmm, saying like, well, is this a should or is this a want, you know, like a hell yes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you couldn't stop me from doing this.
And there's always those things that, you know, people ask about, like, well, can I leave my kid at school?
Right, right.
I don't really want to go pick him up today. But those are different than shoulds. Those are, you know, those more fall on your must-dos.
Yeah.
Those are your must-dos. And so just to clarify that for people, there are still things that we must do as, you know, beings, as human beings, parents, in relationship, whatever we're in.
Right.
But the should is more like, well, I really should meditate.
Right.
So people use those kind of things all the day. Or I really should do an hour and a half of yoga. Why?
Yeah.
Who says?
Yeah.
Like, maybe what really nourishes you is 20 minutes of yoga. And so I've been exploring those kind of things over the years, because I've been a yoga practitioner for about 17 years. Now, so I've had a lot of time to play with the, oh, it says on here in this book that daily practice is required.
Right.
Well, what's daily practice look like? And what really feels nourishing? And it all comes back to, again, the aliveness factor.
Not just a yoga practitioner, but a yoga instructor as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very highly trained one. So one other thing that's come up for me during this process as well is that there's another thing that you do, similar to Chris and I. You're also a writer. And you're currently writing for Elephant Journal. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Elephant Journal is a wonderful online resource. It's called Elephant Journal, Living the Mindful Life. And it's a blog, or more like really a collection of blogs, like an online magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it has blogs on everything to do with the mindful life. So the way we eat, the way we move our bodies, you know, eco-fashion, coaching, relationships, work, every area that we can be, that we could possibly explore mindfully. It's all on there. And so it's been really a fun adventure for me to start writing with them, because previously I was writing my own blogs just for my website. And it's been great to work with them and, you know, come up against my own edges of what it's like to write for deadline, write with editors and, you know, topics and all that kind of thing. So I would really suggest that for any writers out there who are looking to push themselves a little bit further, Elephant Journal is a great place to start if you're in the conscious realm.
I have a question about shoulds versus pushes. So when you're talking about pushing yourself, it sounds like a good thing. And I think it's good to push and grow. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about sort of getting people to grow consciously in a personal development sense. But when is a push a should, and how can you tell the difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. A should, I see, well, I knew for myself, so with the Elephant Journal piece, I noticed that when the opportunity arose for me to write for them and I got the yes back that they wanted me to write, I immediately felt sick to my stomach and I had that throat closing thing happen again. And in fact, it struck me so hard that I almost lost my voice and I had a sore throat for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. And so knowing from yoga background as well as the coaching side of things that, you know, there's the emotional and holding in the body, but the throat chakra is the space when we're letting out our voice, our words, and that might be speaking like in an interview like this, but it might also be writing because that's letting out our voice. And so I knew for me, if I was coming at it from a place of, well, you really should write and you should do this because this is important to, you know, to further your career or something like that, then I wouldn't want to do it for that reason. But listening to the inner call that was deeper than that, that got me to, you know, submit my articles to them, that had me take those steps just on impulse, I had to listen to that rather than these symptoms that were coming up and say, okay, then move through this and really breathe and just write and see what happens when you send something in and you don't think it's good enough or ready and you have to send it anyway. And it's just been an incredible practice to experiment with.
Wow.
So what are some of the things that maybe that you've learned as now? How long has it been that you've been writing for them? A month? A little over? So what are some of the things that you've learned during that process beyond the deadlines, you know, and the stuff? What are some of the key things that surprised you?
Well, I guess one of the key things that surprised me is just noticing what kind of articles people are actually reading, what kind of articles people are taking the time to look at, because I also work with the social media side of Elephant Journal and just noticing, oh, people really, they like photos and quotes a ton and they really want that, but if you post some like longer video, more content, there's a lot less likes, a lot less interaction from people. And so that's been interesting for me because I know for myself, I'm more interested in those things. I want to dive deep and I want to know more and learn more. And so I've just been getting that, oh, it's great to have a balance and offer people, you know, some of those things like this podcast that are a little longer, a little juicier, answer some more questions. And then also sometimes what we have time for in our day is a quote, an image, an inspiring breath, in a moment. So it doesn't always have to be a big thing, which is how I felt when I went into it. I have to write the best article on, you know, fall yoga postures or postures for your immune system. I was going to spend all week researching this. No, people don't actually want to go into that much detail, and it's better just to have one quick thing. So that's actually showed me how much pressure I was putting on myself unnecessarily.
Interesting. That was like that was a should getting cleared out
exactly.
To make way for the inner call, as you
yeah.
Call.
So Megan, if you were to, I mean, we've got a lot of listeners out there, tons of them from all walks of life, and so if you had to leave just one kind of a piece of information that maybe could reach a really broad audience as a take home, what would you leave for them? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Well, I'm going to pause and just tune in to what feels most current for me right now. And that's something I do regularly, so not answering just because it's, you know, in the moment or someone's demanding it. And it's just like, oh, come back, pause. Yeah, and I would say that's one thing, that is something I use every day that I'd really want to leave people with, is this ability to just press the pause button on your life. And it can often feel like there's the hamster wheel or treadmill kind of action always going forward, but the ability to pause and come back in is actually right here with you. So the way I press the pause button is just by taking a full deep breath, consciously inhaling, exhaling, and usually inhale through the nose, exhale like sighing out through the mouth, a grounding breath, and just tuning in, scanning through my body to notice any sensations that are really standing out. Where am I most aware of? What place in my body is calling for attention, nourishing, and where my next action might come from?
Excellent. It's a terrific thing to leave our audience with for today.
Yeah.
So thanks again for tuning in. You've been listening to Consciously Speaking,
Personal Growth with Personality.
So stay tuned. We've got great shows coming up for you. Have a great day.